Don't let the Z fool you. This isn't a Puck Bunny podcast. It's Game Misconduct with Dory and CT.
Welcome to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget you can find us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we're super excited. So we're going to jump right in to our interview this week. And it's one of our longtime friends. I've known him. I feel like I've known you forever. Mm-hmm. But it's, and you know and love him as well. He's the in-arena host, MC extraordinaire, Greg Wolf. So good to see you.
So good to see you, ladies. I love your new hairdo there, Rachel. It looks fantastic, short. I like it.
Thank you. I've even shaved it under.
Oh, I mean, okay. Yeah,
little quarantine crazy. A little bit.
I love it, though. Dory, so fantastic to see you as well.
Thank you, Big G.
Awesome to be here.
And don't be shocked if you see me buzz a lightning bolt into my hair at some point.
Wait a minute. She's been trying. No. Greg, she has been trying this since the bubble playoffs.
Okay.
She was calling barbers.
Wait, I feel like you asked me for this information before.
Oh, and yeah.
I feel like I told you where to go.
Yeah, I did. And then it just was like, am I going to jinxed it at that point. So I called a few barbers and they had like hung up on me. I think they thought I was joking. So I'm going to hold all that information until we get to maybe that point this season.
Okay.
So yeah,
fair enough.
So we'll see what happens, but enough about me and my hair. Let's talk about you. So what were you up to? Because were you just sitting at home like the rest of us while the bubble was happening? Like what? Because it's got to be weird for you.
Yeah. I mean, it was not fun by any way, shape or form. I think everybody can agree on that. You know, during the Stanley Cup run, you know, we did as much as we could as far as the Lightning Vision team to connect with fans. And so we did a few different things that kept us busy last year. We did the Turbo Trivia, the Lightning Turbo Trivia stuff that was happening every Wednesday. So while people were stuck in their houses, we at least gave them an opportunity to have some fun and interact with us with Lightning Turbo Trivia. So at least I was able to do something to feel connected with the fans. So that went on for a little while. And then, you know, we started doing the second screen stuff where you could basically follow along while you're watching the games at home. You were able to play along on your phone. We basically turned your phone into Lightning Vision. And so the scoreboard at the arena was in your hand. So as far as crowd prompts and cheers, like you could keep hitting a button on your phone for cheers, like Vazzy, Vazzy, Vazzy. I mean, it was all sorts of different things that you could do. In between periods, we would do contests and I would do breaks. And I mean, we did as much as we could to give people that normality of a game night in the palm of their hand while they watched the game at home. And that went through the duration pretty much of the Stanley Cup playoffs until we actually got in the big dance and we started doing some very small gatherings at Amalie Arena with season ticket members. So that we could at least have some sort of gathering, even as small of the number as it was, but to at least have some fans in the building when we won the cup was remarkable. I mean, I guess as small as it was, it didn't matter to us. We were together in some way, shape, or form, you know, with the Blue Crew and Thunderbug and some of the staff. So we did the best we could considering, you know, the hand that we were dealt. And so it figures that the 1 year Tampa sports goes off the Richter is the 1 year that we're in the middle of a pandemic. Same thing with the Bucks, you know, the Rowdies, like everybody is winning. USF women's basketball just won the American Athletic Conference. It's just like, what is happening to our city? But it figures it happens when we're in the middle of a pandemic. So yeah, it was a crazy time. I mean, obviously now we're back in the building with 3,800 fans, limited capacity, but those 3,800 fans have felt like a full arena to say the least. So You know, again, it's not the same, but it's better than nothing, I guess, is the way to put it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that we're doing something. We've been involved. We've tried to connect with fans as much as possible during these crazy times. And I think we're towards the tail end of it now. I think now that the vaccines are going crazy and people are getting vaccinated, I think, you know, hopefully by playoffs, you know, we're back to more capacity in the building. And, you know, we can hopefully enjoy this run together, I hope.
Yeah.
So what did you,
oh, go ahead, Dory.
No, I was just going to say during the boat parade and celebration.
Yeah.
You I can already tell by the look on your face. You had some you were involved somehow, the entire Lightning Vision crew. Any stories we don't know about?
not really. I mean, I think everybody saw the side of our players they really hadn't seen, especially Kucherov. The drunk Kucherov memes will forever live in infamy. Before Tom Brady, guys, there was drunk Kucherov. the boat parade stuff, I was not privy to the boat parade stuff because we were at Raymond James Stadium getting all of that set up. And we had an early call time, and it was a lot of – I mean, it was literally all hands on deck at Raymond James to get that staging right, to kind of get all of that ready to go so that when they did get off the boats and started making their way to Raymond James, that we would be prepared. What we weren't necessarily prepared for was the delay, the fact that it took them a lot longer to get up the channel to the trolleys – that were waiting for them over by Rick's at the river to get them to Raymond James. So with that being said, you've got a stadium full of people at Raymond James waiting for their players. And we just like, you know, a lot of hip hop concerts as I've been involved in my day, you're now delaying and you're trying to figure out ways to keep fans engaged while you know they're nowhere near the building. So I literally had to pull out my bag of tricks from my days at Wild and my club days with stalling. And, you know, Franzone keeps telling me, Wolf, go out there, get on the mic, you know, get them hyped up or whatever. So the call and response thing, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. If you have a lot of happy people like we had when we won a championship, I could have screamed out there, you know, pinch the Charmin and people would have gone crazy. Like, I don't think it would have mattered what I was going to say because they just wanted to be there and be a part of it. So I want to say I had to stall for 90 minutes, which, you know, 20 or 30 minutes is one thing. But when you've got 90 minutes to kill, you know, needless to say, it was a lot. However, I went out there and did it. I was doing, you know, call and response for favorite players. And I mean, I was just trying to pull anything and everything I could out of my hat, to keep the fans engaged. And I mean, from what I've been told, I did a fantastic job. They weren't expecting that, but we did it to the point where people forgot how long the break was before the players got there. So that was kind of craziness. The only real like tidbit of info that like people may not have saw as much as I saw was when the players arrived and they got to Raymond James and they got up on the stage and then all the craziness started ensuing. You know, I'm standing right there. So I'm seeing how destroyed these guys are. Like there's no, I don't think anybody on the team was sober. I mean, if they were not showing it. But Kucherov, oh my God. So Kuch, as we all saw drunk Kuch, but what you may not have saw was he was standing behind Jeffrey Vinnick on the stage. So Vinnick and the dignitaries were kind of sitting in that front row, Mayor Jane Castor and Dave Anderchuk and all. And at some point, I don't remember what happened, but Kucherov, like an entire beer dumped on Vinnick. Like he, not intentionally, I think he was just like drunk Kucherov and he went to like hug somebody. And I noticed his entire beer is dumped on Vinnick. Like it goes all over Vinnick. But again, I think Vinnick knew, you know, we're in the moment, things are going to happen. Who cares? You know, they were doing beers, you know, chugging beers together. But people didn't see how sloppy Kuch was. Sloppy. I mean, like kind of like your best friend that's like had way too much and you're trying to get them in the car and they just want to dance and love everybody. That was kind of hilarious. Like when I saw the beer just get poured on Vinick, I was like, and he didn't get mad. He was just like, hey, whatever. I was just like, this is the best day ever.
Was that so before
that was really my tidbit. Yeah.
Was that before or after he chugged a beer with Vinick at the podium?
I want to say it was before that.
Okay. So he was already indoctrinated to party cooch and, you know, but that just so shows how cool of an owner Jeff Vinick is.
Correct.
To like understand that these guys kind of deserve to let loose a little bit and they're kind of like all of us too.
Pretty much. Everybody was Litty City, that is for sure. But yeah, even Vinick, I mean, like you said, he was, you know, doing beers and chugging beers and it's just one of those, you know, iconic events, iconic moments that, I mean, you look back on it now and it was just like, holy crap, I can't believe I was a part of all of that. So, but yeah, it was epic. It was nothing short of epic. Even considering the situation that we were in, it didn't matter. People just forgot about it for a few hours and just enjoyed the moment. I wish it could have been a full stadium instead of, you know, limited. But, you know, again, we dealt with the hand that we were dealt and here we are.
I always feel like the thing that makes Vinick as special as he is, I'm not going to start calling out other owners of other sports, but Vinick feels like he's really a fan of the Lightning. Like it's not just a business to him. Like he loves that. And I think that's why, you know, we saw the call in the locker room. I don't remember who the Lightning posted that, but the call that he gave them in the locker room after they won, or I think it was Cooper, like, guys, shut up a minute. Right. And then, you know, you saw him just having a great time. Rachel likes to call him Party Cooch, which I think is fit.
There was a hashtag on Twitter.
Yeah, it was Party Cooch for sure.
But, you know, we saw him with that, and it was like he just seemed to be enjoying the moment as much as the players, as much as the coaches, as much as the fans. And I think that's what makes him really special is he loves Tampa Bay. He loves this team.
He does, 100%. I mean, obviously, he's fully invested in it. He's demonstrated that. He's demonstrated his commitment to the community with all the donations and the community heroes, which is now in its 10th year, by the way. So the millions of dollars is like, it's outrageous the amount of money he's put back into our community. But you're right. I think he's a fan first. And, you know, to be able to not only be the owner of the team, but to be a fan of the team first, I think that's why a big reason why the team has been so successful is when you have an owner who doesn't just look at it as a number crunching opportunity, like some other owners, when it's not just money, a money game, it's, you know, you're invested in the team, the players, the families, the community. That's why I think this organization has done so well for so long is because it obviously starts at the top. And if you've got those vibes, those good vibes always coming from the top, it's always going to trickle down. So he's demonstrated that time and time again. And again, I mean, it sounds cliche that we've said it 1,000 times, but he is absolutely the best owner in sports. There's no question, hands down.
Yeah. And that kind of, you know, not only do the players want to play for each other, but especially when, you know, you're like, okay, so you're going to be in a bubble and you can't see your friends and family and you're, you know, going to be restricted to this area. You know, yes, they are athletes, it is their job, but the want to, you know, not only for each other, but for the city they play for and their fans, but also their owner. It felt like they just, you know, it, like you said, it trickles down and then it kind of floats back up to the top, which is, you know, I think why the team actually flourished in a bubble situation that nobody had been in before.
Right. And not only that, but, you know, the naysayers who try to say, well, you know, this year shouldn't count. And I'm like, this is the hardest year that they've ever had to deal with ever. So there is no naysaying. Oh, there's an asterisk. No, this was the most difficult situation to put yourself in mentally, physically, emotionally, something nobody's ever been a part of or seen before. So it makes it that much more difficult and made it that much more special for us to win it last year.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. So now you're back in the building. Yes. And like you said, 3,800 feels like 19,000. And I was there the second home game and it was kind of an out of body experience a little bit.
Sure.
Like it felt so long since, I mean, over a year since I had been in that building, but like, I know you said you miss the fans, but what is the one other thing that you think you miss the most from like the daily grind?
It's a good question. Now that we've done a few games in the building, and like you said, it's not the same, but we're there. I guess, I mean, again, we're very limited in our movement in the building, right? So because of there's different levels. And so if you're a red level, that means you're allowed to be ice level. You're about allowed to be downstairs, kind of locker room area. If you're yellow level, it kind of gets you in certain other areas around the building, not necessarily the red level. And then there's a green level, which allows you to kind of roam the open areas. So even though I'm the host, my movement is limited. So we have to contain movement. And so I'm literally staged in the Chase Club. That's kind of like our stage. And so I don't move around the building. I'm not going to the fans. I'm not in the 300 level doing, you know, a contest, or I'm not on the ice level doing contests. Everything is very immobile. And that to me is like, I'm not used to that. I'm used to being up in the 300s and I have 37 seconds to get down to the ice. And like, I miss that. And it sounds crazy because people are like, well, that's the most stressful part of your job is when you have to get from point A to point B and you've got 30 seconds to do so. But when you don't have it, you miss it. And so I miss being able to chop it up with the ice crew in between periods and being down in the Zam tunnel and everybody's joking and we're talking about hockey. And I don't have that opportunity right now. Don't get me wrong. I'm still with my Lightning Vision crew up on the deck, but those kind of things I miss. Having fans doing contests with me, I can't even give them a dap when they get the question right because we have to, you know, no contact. So there are all these little things that to me are big things. And those are the things I miss the most. You know, again, not having a full stadium, not having a full arena, not having the pregame stuff on Fort Thunder Alley, not having DJs and that whole vibe, setting the tone for the city. Like, we're not there yet. Will we get there by playoffs? I'm fairly hopeful we will. I mean, again, we're on such a path right now with, especially in Florida, with everybody getting vaccinated and the inundation of just, it's consistent. So in another 60 days, where are we going to be as a society? I hope that we're in a way better place to where we can gather in full or at least as close to full as possible and get back to some sort of game night normalcy in that regard. But I mean, I guess that's really it. It's the game night stuff that I'm so used to doing every single game and not being able to do that right now is kind of sucky. But again, I'm so glad to at least be in the building with some fans and giving them that sense of normalcy as best as we possibly can. But it's not the same. But again, you know, the everyday Joe average fan wouldn't recognize those kinds of things. But for me, it's definitely a difference.
I will have to say I'm always impressed with what John Franzone, you and the Lightning Vision crew do in every game. But I was really impressed with the changes that you've made and how you've made them and how it still feels authentic, even sure. though like you can't have that real interaction. I just was really impressed with how you guys have done that and made those changes and still make it feel like I'm back at the arena, like my second home. Sure. So just really great job on that.
Yeah. And I mean, again, you've got some of the best in the industry, again, finding ways to adapt. I think we've done a really good job, even going back to last year, with just finding ways. Like, we can't do nothing, you know, we have to do something. So yeah, I agree. The fact that we're handcuffed, so to speak, but to still be able to present the game and the game presentation in a way that makes you feel like you haven't skipped a beat. That's why they do what they do.
Well, Greg, it's always great to talk to you. Remind everybody where they can find, because like you're always posting it, like where you're at and what fun things you're doing. So remind people where they can find you. And I know you have also a side hustle if you want to give that a little shout out too.
Absolutely. I would love to give Street Laced some love. But yes, you guys can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter at Third Leg Greg. That's 3RDLEGGREG. My crew, Street Laced, they've been doing a fantastic job over the pandemic, again, finding ways to connect with people, to entertain people. We are still doing it more so now than ever. You can find us at streetlaced.com, or you can follow us on Instagram at StreetLacedPromo to keep up with all of the happenings and things that we are doing and staying connected to our city.
Yeah, and just get ready, because once it's fully back open and life is normal, no sleep for Greg Wolf and his people.
Can't wait. Let's get it done.
Greg, thank you so much. We love talking to you.
Thank you, ladies. Anytime. I appreciate y'all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So I was going to say something and then I'm not. So I don't know if this ever happens to you anytime you bring up Greg Wolf to people, but then you're like, oh yeah, if you follow him on Instagram, see all the stuff. I think you know where I'm going. And then people will, without fail, will go, third leg, Greg? Like, yes, that third leg. Yes. Mm-hmm. Back in the wild 94. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's the same guy. Yeah. So people are like, is that, guess this, he's grown up.
Yeah, I'm surprised
he's a businessman now.
I'm surprised he hasn't changed his, like, you know, handle.
No, why would he? I mean, without fail, anytime somebody's like, wait, do you mean? Yes. Yes, it's the same guy. But yeah, now he's a businessman. He's grown up. He's everywhere. And yeah, you've known him longer than I have, but I've known him for almost 10 years. And he's just one of the, you know, one of those guys that, you know, we both really like. You can always, you know, he's always just a great guy. And I knew he was going to say he missed the people.
Of course. He's a man such of the people.
He really, really is. So, I'm excited for them to come back. I mean, they do really cool things and, listen, and you've worked with John Franzone in the past.
He's amazing.
That man is a magician.
He is. And I can't, you have to be a special kind of person to be able to present and engineer a live event. Like, you've got to, like, you know how, like, you know, you have like spinning plates. There are like 20 spinning plates that are always running, and you've got the NHL saying you've got to get out in time, and you've got, you know, timekeepers and arena people and sponsorships, and I just don't know how that man sleeps, because it's just so much going on. But that's why they are some of the best in the biz. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've done a really great job pivoting for this, you know, new way of presenting games. And it'll be interesting to see if they keep any of the stuff that they have figured out, you know, being in, you know, a bubble and then now having limited fans and, like Greg said, limited movement. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes from here. But, you know, I'm hopeful, just like Greg is, you know, in 60 days. Or I'm actually surprised he even said that. I'm more thinking towards, you know, next October when we start a new season, you know, just because I've been, you know, not let down before, but, you know, have been hopeful before. And then it's like, yeah, no, we're going to push back. So I'm kind of like, I think I'm a little more pessimistic, maybe.
Yeah. A little more hesitant, maybe. Yeah. That's
yeah. I'm just glad I get to be there. When I get to be there. So we'll see what happens. But let's quickly talk about, because they played 6 games in 7 days, I believe was what I heard yesterday afternoon. It's hard for me to keep up with all the games they played, but they had a pretty good showing.
Nice homestand, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, the beating Chicago twice, because Chicago gave them was a kind of a handful when they were up there.
Yeah.
Right?
They're not too shabby. I mean,
no, they're
any team that has Patrick Kane on them, they're not going to be too shabby.
They try hard. they try real hard. No, they're definitely improving. You know, from where they were a couple seasons ago. Were you at the Panthers game?
Oh God! No, I was at the Nashville game Monday the 15th. Okay. Where they lost.
That's right, because you have to pick and shoot. Yeah, you can only go. Yeah. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I think we have a rivalry on our hands, folks.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Sunday night's game?
I'm talking about, yep.
Yeah.
I think we have that well, they've wanted it, and I think we have it.
Well, when both of the teams are at the top of the standings, I mean, every, you know, more than ever this season, every game counts and every point yep. counts. So it's going to be a knockdown, drag out fight, I believe. And we hadn't seen them in a couple months, which is crazy to think by just the number of teams that we're playing. But yeah, I mean, they beat Dallas on the second of a back-to-back in Dallas, which was one of those rescheduled games in a shootout. They beat Chicago on Thursday by 2 goals. They beat Chicago on Saturday by 3 goals. And like, I checked in on the game on Sunday with like 12 minutes left in the third period, and it was tied 3-3. And then I was like, then all of a sudden they got 2 more goals, and it was just, it was crazy. It's crazy. And there's a lot of animosity mm-hmm. with that Panthers team yeah. right now. So, you know, they're away this coming week in Dallas, 2 games, and then Carolina, and they come back on the 30th for a game versus Columbus. So not an easy road trip, because those teams look, even Detroit can be a hard team to play against.
Sure.
Depending on the day.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, and they're getting every team's best effort. Not just because they are the defending Stanley Cup champions, but because every game this season counts because of it yeah. being a shortened season. So I think it's going to get pretty dicey down the line here.
Yeah. I think so. I'm looking forward to Carolina again, because I feel like they haven't seen them very often.
Right.
And we've seen the Lightning kind of grow.
Yeah.
You know, they're still playing very well.
Right.
But we, you know, Yanni Gord is like, what the heck, Yanni Gord?
Yeah.
He's like a scoring madman.
Yeah.
Lately, but it's going to be, I'm interested to see, because I feel like we haven't seen Carolina in a minute. So yeah. that's the one I'm kind of most looking forward to see, like, how has it changed? How have they adapted? Right. How have they done these things?
And, you know, it's kind of crazy. Like, I feel like we didn't see Dallas for quite some time just because of all the issues they were having. And yeah. all of a sudden it was like Dallas.
Yeah.
And Nashville and Chicago, like all mm-hmm. the time. And I looked at April, and it's like Columbus, Detroit, Florida, in Carolina to an extent. There is a back-to-back with Carolina, but like, there are 2 games against Florida the middle of April that I think are going to be huge games.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And the last game of the season that the Lightning play is in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And the last week of the season, they play 4 games back-to-back where they do travel. But yeah. it is to South Florida. So, like, I know I'm jumping ahead a lot, but, like, I don't think I've ever seen this on an NHL schedule before, is on a Wednesday they play at home versus Dallas. On Thursday, they play in Florida. On Friday, they play at home versus Dallas. And on Saturday, they play in Florida.
Yeah.
Like,
it's wild.
And
that's so
weird. That's the last week of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's insane. Yeah. And to say also, the Saturday before that, they play back-to-back games in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's been a wild schedule. The time's been weird.
Oh, yeah, the 4 o'clock games and the 5 o'clock games on a Monday. Like, that was yeah. weird for me. But, yeah, so just always check the schedule so you yeah. don't miss a game, especially now that they're letting fans in. Oh, don't no. just assume yeah. it's a 7 o'clock game or a 7:30 game. Always check to make sure. But yeah, the road ahead is going to be really busy. There are going to be a lot of games in a very short amount of time, but the players yeah. seem to thrive on that, mm-hmm. you know, because they can kind of get in a rhythm, where at the beginning yeah. of the season, it was like, play a game, wait 7 days, play a game, wait 5 days, just because yeah. of all the craziness going on. So it'll be interesting to see what happens for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
but all things seem to be clicking for them. Dory, you want to say anything before we go?
No, I think we pretty much touched on everything. It's so different this year. Just like, it's the same teams, it's the same team,
right?
The same team. So it's kind of, you know, it's just so hard to kind of like find something new and exciting to, you know,
right.
per especially, team,
especially when they're playing so well.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to not have it something to complain about.
Yeah. I mean, there really isn't that, you know, I mean, maybe we could talk, you know, let's see what happens. I think the penalty kill against Florida was not good.
No.
But let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an anomaly.
Maybe it is an anomaly because those special teams have to be really on point this season.
They really do. So I think I'm going to keep my eye on that, on this away trip.
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know, I'll have something to complain and rant about, or, you know, they turned it around. Sometimes we say things and it's almost like the hockey gods listen to our podcast because then all of a sudden it gets fixed. So
I like to tell myself that John Cooper listens to our podcast and he's like, let me write that down. That is true. But one good thing that I have noticed is they don't seem to normally drop two games in a row. And that's huge. Like you can't
especially
get in a slump this season. You've got to always recover and reset. And so they seem to have been doing that. So let's just continue it. You hear that, John Cooper? Just continue it. Good job so far. Pat on the back. All right, Dory, thank you so much. We love getting to talk with you every week. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review and hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode of Game Misconduct. And we will catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.